Welcome to another episode of Why Not Meditate Podcast. I'm your host, Masako Kozawa, a teacher and a student of mindfulness meditation. I am so happy that you're here. Welcome back to the podcast. I hope you are well. Am I the only one who is shocked to realize that the first half of December is already gone and we are nearing the end of yet another year? It's gonna be 2024 before we know it. So I wanna slow down a little bit and take some time to reflect back on 2023. In season 2 of Why Not Meditate podcast, we welcomed 27 amazing guests, and I had the privilege of sharing their messages with you as they shared from their hearts. So in the next few episodes, I want to take a moment and revisit the highlights of season 2 by sharing the gem that each guest has gifted us this year. I'm going to leave a link for each episode in the show notes so that if any one particular message speaks to you, then you can easily go back and listen to the full episode. I will also mark up the time of each guest so that you can easily find when each guest is being featured during this episode. I want to thank each and every guest for trusting me with their messages and co-creating the experience of this podcast. And I also want to thank you for being part of this podcast as a listener. Every time when I receive feedback from you, I get so encouraged to keep going. So, thank you. Okay, let's dive in, shall we? The first guest I want to feature is my good friend, John Chow. He kicked off season 2 with an amazing enthusiasm, and that was right after he came back from Dr. Joe Dispenza's week-long retreat. So let's hear his message.
And I really feel like that's the ultimate lie that the public narrative have created about meditation. Oh, meditation is just you sitting somewhere. It's about breathing in some nice smells and being calm and whatever. No, this is an aggressive thing. This is a life-altering thing. This is a difficult thing. It is much easier to go and do something and be distracted than it is to sit and meditate. Sitting and meditating is one of the hardest things that anybody could ever do. And we are dissuaded by it being put down and completely moved to the side thinking, oh, it's nothing important. It won't matter to me whether I meditate or not. No, that's a lie. Being encouraged to meditate, being told that it is a life-changing thing is exactly what people need to hear. In fact, I wish people were more intimidated by meditation, that they would realize and honor what meditation really is, and then choose to rise to the occasion. And I would say, as a man, to be a man enough to meditate, as a woman, to be woman enough to meditate, because of when we can choose to step up, we will see the fruits of what it takes when we invest in ourselves. And then our life can no longer be the same. Yeah. And I really want to encourage people to meditate big. Dream as big as you desire. If there is an inkling of desire in you for a dream, for something that was put in there for a reason. Yeah. So then dream all the way. If there's a feeling of what potential future is out there, and you only allow yourself to dream of a small part of it, you're wasting that thing that's inside of you that's been given to put in you.
Yeah.
Why not dream all the way? What have we got to lose? The price that what we have to lose is a dynamic, bright future that we are not letting ourselves enter into because we're too afraid to meditate that into reality.
Yeah.
And I would rather live in the difficulty of the impossibility of that future than to give up on that and not even let that future come, which would be so sad.
Yeah. So again, the price of admission is courage.
Yes.
Why not meditate big? You know, John and I have been in constant communication since this episode came out, and what a beautiful life he's been creating ever since. It's mind-blowing. Next, we are going to hear from Dr. Melissa Moore from episode 54, sharing wisdom gained through her 30 plus years of studying and teaching Buddhist contemplative psychology. I want to hear how the benefits of meditation started showing up in your own life. I mean, you've been meditating for many years.
Well, the number one thing was I found out that I could be friendly to myself instead of harsh with myself. And I had been, as a dancer and also had a very developed eating disorder, I was very harsh with myself and others. I'm very critical in my mind and, the usual mental conditioning of most. I feel I was in a pretty strong pattern of self-hatred when I met the meditation, and that's why it was so hard to be with myself. And so, as I gradually, I was sort of in a program that forced me to meditate. I got in so much trouble running during meal times and getting, being basically hard to manage as a student, that they made me be on the meditation cushion at a certain time, and they were kind of watching me so I could stay in the program. So that was hard. I don't particularly recommend that because it turned me into an adolescent, really, which I was already. It just emphasized it more. But nevertheless, somewhere in there, there was some softening towards myself. And the main thing was where it really played out was I realized I didn't have to be bulimic anymore, that I noticed that wherever I went, my mind followed me, and that I could really stay with myself. Even if I'd eaten too much food, I didn't have to act out this purging piece. So I literally learned to sit with myself through a lot of, hard moments. And that was very, very useful.
You know, you hear this often from seasoned meditators. Oftentimes, they tell you that having trouble meditating, but sitting with discomfort, regardless, was the biggest teaching moment for them. Because when you don't run away from discomfort, that's when you overcome whatever it is you need to overcome, right? And that leads us to the next message. Next guest, Troy Hadid from episode 60, a world-renowned yogi and now a published author. He just published his first book titled My Name is Love. And you can definitely hear that in his voice as well as in his message.
And we live in a world where so much people can't be with their minds because they've never taken the time to create and cultivate a relationship to your mind. I reference it back to marriage and relationship because if I was married to someone, the only way I can create intimacy and understanding is through quality time and listening. I can't come home and tell my spouse to shut up. I'd probably get kicked out, right? So it's the same thing with our minds. Why would I want to shut my mind up? I don't want to shut my mind up. I just want to create a relationship with my mind so my mind listens. So there's an understanding because my mind has very valuable things to offer.
It's often trying to protect you.
Yeah. It has so much to offer. The practice of yoga asana, if practiced correctly, deepens our relationship to our breath, deepens our relationship to our mind, and gives us the capacity in life. That's where yoga really happens. That's where yoga practice really shows up. It gives us the ability to live our lives with more intention, more consciousness, more intimacy. And that gives us the ability to love. to choose love consciously and to see God and divinity in all things. It doesn't matter how long we sit in meditation. It doesn't matter how long I stay in darkness. It doesn't matter how long I stay in silence. It doesn't matter how much yoga I do. It doesn't matter how much ayahuasca plant ceremony someone does. It comes down to two things. Do you know what love is? Can you embody it? And are you able to see God and see spirit in all aspects of the human experience?
Beautiful. Speaking of cultivating a relationship with our mind, let me introduce the next guest, Sanjib Nandi, from episode 55, a founder of Luvo Wellness App, sharing what meditation has taught him about his mind, how to create with his own thoughts, and the new meaning of life he now has.
Our brain is a receiver as well as the transmitter. So we receive, you know, thoughts from the universe, from other people. And when you are able to keep your mind calm, you will get thoughts which you never know, you know, how it is coming. But you will get, you know, newer thoughts. And once you started giving energy and focus to those thoughts, you start creating new things in your life.
Yes.
Because everything is energy and matter. If I am giving a thought, you know, energy to a positive thought, it is going to, you know, grow bigger.
Yeah.
And same thing, if we are going to give energy to a negative thought, it is going to get bigger and bigger. It's all about taking that journey because, you know, there is no satisfaction in the destination. What you are doing and what I am doing, it's kind of taking the journey. Until and unless we find happiness in this journey, there is no happiness at the end point. Because, you know, what is the end point for me? You know, if I say, okay, I build the app and it is successful, then I will be happy. No, that is not the case.
It's a cliche, but the older I get, the more I realize it is true. Life is not about a destination. Rather, it is about the journey itself. And when you change the lens through which you're seeing yourself and your life, everything changes. Why? Because you are rewiring your brain. And here's the message from Maria McKeon from episode 59, sharing how she is rewiring her brain daily through meditation.
And to see how that theme can play out. So ultimately, you have to be happy with you, and you have to wake up every morning, you know, with Mel Robbins saying, giving yourself a high five. Why was I a runner? Because you were getting that energy of a collective group. They were all doing something positive, but they were all cheering each other on. And there has to come a time in one's life that you have to be your own cheerleader.
Yeah.
And at 60 years old, I finally have had so many different situations that I was my cheerleader, even if I didn't believe that cheerleader, but I had to be that cheerleader. And I do not want to waste one more day. I don't want to waste, give my energy to something that no longer serves me. Someone said, you know, your past is like a canceled check. It's gone.
It's no value.
No value. You learn from it. And then when you can see your pattern of repeating it. And I do believe that meditation is that one tool to reprogram you. We talked about the brain and how a consistent practice of, and I do this every single day, breathing techniques, add more, take away, but there's consistency. I am reprogramming my brain.
I love her voice. You know what else can rewire our brain? Well, there are many things, but one of the tools I came to love is aromatherapy. I learned this from New York City's top aromatherapy practitioner, Amy Anthony, from episode 61.
Essential oils in aromatherapy, they work like that. I just snap within 30 seconds. But for a sustained effect, like a meditation practice, you need to sit down and be like, I'm doing this for 30 days, and then I'm going to assess. Flowers are the bridge of a plant's life and death, bridge of our main chakra system along the spine, right? Up into the head, down to the perineum. The bridge is the flower. That's your heart. And hearts, when you smell rose, genuine rose essential oil, which is very expensive. She, when she's distilled, she likes to give herself over to the water. She doesn't want to come out as the oil. So she's more expensive. This is why rose water is cheaper, because it gives itself to water. Yeah, this is part of the distillation, just to know as an aromatherapist. But rose, you smell, you feel your heart kind of expand. You feel like compassion for others in a way, for outward. So that's a great, I know there's meditation for like, for others.
Yes.
And then you could kind of feel a little self-acceptance. And then throat chakra, the leaves, on trees and plants, they're talking.
Okay. Right?
They're really expressive. Leaves for the throat chakra for expression. Resins for the clarity of the third eye. And that's what we do with meditation, right? And we're like smelling frankincense or working with Palo Santo or myrrh or elemi, so many resins.
Amy pulled me into the fascinating world of aromatherapy with her amazing enthusiasm and her extensive knowledge and experience. I loved being shown the world I did not know about. And just like certain scents invoke something within us, so do meditation and breathwork. Here is a dance artist, Alicia Peterson-Basquel, from episode 56, sharing how meditation and breathwork have become an integral part of her creative process.
So all along, I'm doing all these creative processes because I can't give that up. No matter what, that's the thing I have to have. And then I found breathwork. And with breathwork, the first time I tried it, which was over Zoom in my own home, I felt that full body just buzz, that full body, like just embodiment. And I started getting creative, like pops in my mind. And the first three breathwork sessions I had, I was like, okay, I love this. I'm going to be attending several sessions of this. Anytime my teacher offers it, I'm going to go. And then in breathwork, I had this clarity that I wanted to teach breathwork as a way into creativity. You know, I saw people in a dance room coming up out of breathwork and improvising. And it just felt so, it felt so clear. It also felt kind of basic. You know, I sort of expected an epiphany to be like way out here, this thing that was totally different. But this felt so aligned with everything I'd ever been and everything that had ever been interesting to me. It almost felt too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a no-brainer.
Like a no-brainer. Like, why didn't this come to me before? Why didn't I realize this before, right? But, and that's the thing that I'm finding is that breathwork brings up the things that are, they're right there on the surface, but we can't always see them.
I would like to hear more about how the meditation and breathwork, how they interact with the creative process. I mean, it could be just how you experience it.
Yeah. So when I'm choreographing, if I'm meditating regularly during the process of choreographing, I'm able to sort of take that step back from the work and see the largeness of it, see the fullness of the possibilities, right? The possibilities that exist, that's like our job as artists is to be able to see those possibilities and to see what other people might not be able to see. You know, so sometimes before I meditated, I might try to go in and almost like chess pieces, move people around and make choices, like make choices that are coming from like right from my brain, right from that working place, and arrange a dance. But when I meditate, I find that I started to allow the dance. and to allow the dance to unfold and to see it. And when I work with other artists, when I work with other dancers, when I make a dance, I can watch and I can allow their creativity and support their creativity and then guide it instead of telling them what to do.
You know, it makes so much sense because through meditation, you are tapping into the invisible field of energy where everything is being created with your intention. And here's Neil Cannon from episode 58 talking about energy and what that means to every aspect of our life.
I know you wanted to focus mostly on energy, and I'm realizing we've spoken about quite a few of the other ones. Energy, of course, encapsulates all of them.
Right.
Because at the subatomic level, we are energy.
Yes.
When we zoom in enough onto the human body, we are 99.999 many nines, empty space or energy, and 0.001 matter.
Yeah.
And we know scientifically that we are interconnected. Quantum entanglement has proven this. It's a fundamental principle of spirituality, understanding that we are literally connected with one another.
Yeah.
I once heard that the ultimate reason for suffering is the illusion that we are separated.
Yeah.
Because if we consider that we are literally all connected, we wouldn't be experiencing so much rivalry and competition with one another, because we'd want to co-elevate and co-evolve.
Yeah.
That's not the illusion we are living in. So when we understand we are literally connected and there's a consciousness of the planet and beyond, it starts to become more an enjoyable way of life.
So the illusion of separation Neil mentioned is what we often see and feel as we live our life in this 3D reality, right? And we sometimes forget that we all come from the same source. And we might feel disconnected and isolated, and we need to fight alone through life. And when and if you find yourself in that mental space, I want you to listen to this message from my beautiful friend, KJ Nasral, from episode 57.
And somebody had posted that quote from Hafez. And I was just so stunned by it. And I think they were just saying something like, this is a poem I admire, and here's a line from it. And I hadn't heard of it before. But when I saw the entire phrase and quote for what it is, I said exactly what you did right now, which was like, that is my mission. That is what I'd like to do in my work as a psychotherapist, but also in my work and in my presence in every day, in helping us understand that we have these moments right now. No matter if you're feeling elated and joyful and delighted and colorful, or if you're feeling like at the depths of despair, or if you feel like there's no way you can get out of bed this morning, I want us to see that there is like this glorious, glorious, glorious thread between all, which is you, which is you connect all of this. And every experience that you have is astonishing. It is extraordinary. Maybe if you could see it, maybe that would bring a little peace. And if you can't see it, then I'm happy to hold the light and I'm happy to hold the space with you while you discover it, because I see it.
That sums it up. That sums up the entire purpose of this podcast. That sums up the reason why I do what I do through podcasting, through coaching, through just being present in this experience of life. And I'm sure you can relate too. So here you go. The first of three-part series, highlights from season 2. Which message resonated with you the most? How are you going to integrate the message in the way you show up today and tomorrow? I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. As you know, my mission of doing this podcast is to spread the good news of meditation and heal humanity. If this conversation was helpful, or if it inspired you in any way, please leave a 5-star rating anywhere you are listening to this podcast, and a written review if you are listening on Apple Podcast. Please share it with your friends and on your social media. Any of these actions will help us spread the message. Well, I hope you have an amazing week, and I will see you on the next episode of Why Not Meditate. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, subscribe and leave a review. Also, share the episode with a friend who might benefit from meditation. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, why not meditate?